thing I did not know about Malachi is that they figured that there actually was no Malachi, and that Malachi is a Hebrew word for messenger, my messenger. And a lot of the folks believe that Ezra actually wrote Malachi. So, hey, learn something new every day, and that one's free for you guys tonight. Spiritual maintenance, you know, I was going to actually title this message pre-revival, but I want to make sure you guys get home before midnight tonight. So I thought I would change it up. But a disclaimer, I suppose, this is not going to be any new age fuddy-duddy stuff or progressive anything. Life can only beget life. And we're going to find that in the living word of God here tonight. So if you want to make your way to Malachi, penned about 2,500 years ago. And this was actually a message that the Lord, I think, just put on my heart for myself. And it hasn't really gone away. And so I thought, you know what, I would love to just share this with my brothers and sisters. And there's a note in my Bible about it that I'd just like to start with tonight. I want to read to you guys to kind of set the tone. And it says that spiritual health requires constant maintenance. Otherwise, we quickly lapse into apathy and insincerity. This was a problem in Malachi's time as well. Returned from exile in Babylon and built the temple and reinstated the priesthood. But some time had passed, a few generations, and the Israelites began to get complacent with their faith. Even the priests became corrupt and careless in their duties. And so God raised up a prophet, someone to come and give his message to the people. And Malachi spoke out against the people. He spoke out against their insincere worship and their lack of concern for God's commands. And as we'll see, he doesn't just condemn them for their failures, but he promised them great blessings for obedience. And there's a bit of a showdown in this book that we're going to see. And my hope and my prayer is that this will just be a bit of a baseline for us all. You know, and for us, it's a beautiful example of how to return to the Lord or how to come to the Lord. It's a beautiful picture of that in this book. And I believe that it is a great preposition for worship and true revival to happen in here, to happen in here. And, you know, as Mark, by the way, Mark and Gary, the last 2 weeks, phenomenal job. It's not easy to follow those two guys, by the way, lately, especially, my goodness. And, you know, something Mark said last week about patterns. You know, there's patterns in life. There's ups and downs and all sorts of stuff, isn't there? And the same is true with the Christian life as well. And I haven't been a pastor for very long, but I've been following Christ with my whole heart for a number of years now. And I've seen and I've learned that there are these patterns and seasons. And I really hope and pray that this will be a benefit for all who hear it. And, you know, for example, when Israel came back from captivity, they were set free. They were given this new life. And the same is true with us when we come to the Lord. We're given a new life. We're freed from captivity to a lot of things. You know that song tonight, "I'm no longer a slave to fear." You know, I don't know about you guys, but when I came to the Lord, I became no longer a slave to a lot of things. And that's one of the things that we've seen with these guys. They were literally slaves to a nation and set free. And you know what? Time is the ultimate test of everything, isn't it? And so often we come to the Lord and it's exciting and there's new things happening. And some time goes by and all that feeling, that excitement, it kind of goes away a little bit. And we find ourselves kind of wavering sometimes. You know, that first love feeling is kind of worn off. And, you know, that old hymn says that we're prone to wander. The hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And that's in our human nature. that we would kind of be tempted to go back to our old ways. And it can leave us feeling apathetic and discouraged. And so whether you've recently come to Christ or been a Christian forever, or this whole thing is new to you, my hope and prayer is that God would speak to you through his word tonight, and that we would be encouraged from this time in Malachi. So I'm just going to pray quick, and we're going to dive right in. Father, just thank you again to be in your house here tonight, Lord. God, I just thank you for your word, and I pray that you would just anoint my tongue, Lord, that I would speak it and preach it clearly here tonight, God, and that you would move here. Holy Spirit, I ask that your words would not return void here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So Malachi here, we just start off, I love it, in verse 1, chapter 1, and God establishes his love for his people. He establishes his love. And everyone here today has been a parent or had a parent. I'm sure you can resonate with this part. You know, have you ever been about to give a paddy whack or gotten a paddy whack, and your parent or yourself has said, you know, I just want you to know that whatever happens next, I love you very much, right? And whatever happens next, I just need you to know that. And or it's the old, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I never remember them hurting. I just remember a sore back. But anyways, that's what the Lord does here. He starts off by establishing his love for his people. And he says in verse 1, this is the message that the Lord gave to Israel through the prophet Malachi. He says, I have always loved you, says the Lord. But you retort, have you loved us? Excuse me, how have you loved us? And the Lord replies, this is how I've shown my love for you. I loved your ancestor Jacob, but I rejected his brother Esau and devastated his hill country. I turned Esau's inheritance into a desert for jackals. You know, all through Scripture, God reminds his people of his great love for them, of what he's done for them. He's brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of slavery. He's made a way to be right with his people. He's established a relationship. He's established promises and a covenant to be right with God. He's done so much, and God is always reminding his people. It's like, man, I've done so much. Like, look, I love you. I'm leading you. I'm taking you. And he's reminding them of that here tonight, or in this scripture here. The list really goes on and on. And I find it so interesting that there's a retort here. And they say, how have you loved us? How have you loved us, God? And to me, that really shows just where the hearts of these people are at. You know, how have you loved us? You say you love us, how? It shows just how distant their hearts are. You know, there's like a bitterness and a rebellious kind of thing here. You know, it's like, I imagine my kids, it's like, you know, I love you. And they say, how? How have you loved me? It's like, man, I brought you into this world. I can take you out of this world. That's how I love you. Anybody's mama said that to them, that's me. It's like they don't even have the first clue. Man, I have like done so much and continue not to mention how much I really do love you, right? It's an interesting thing going on here. And so he establishes his love for them, and they have this retort here. And what God's going to do is really, through the prophet Malachi here, is tell them their condition. He says, I'm going to let you know where you're at. I see it all. I see through everything. I see your hearts. I see it all. And he's going to talk to them about their condition. Their condition. And I don't know about you guys, but when it comes to good news and bad news, I like getting the bad news first. Anybody else like the bad news first? Anybody like the good news first? Yeah, it's kind of like just like a fringe thing, you know, like big whoop. If there's bad news, like, you know, when my kids come in from outside and they say, Dad, I have good news and bad news. I say, well, I don't care about the dog you saw. Like, what did you break out there? It's what I want to know. Or my wife, when she says, you want the good news or bad news, I say, I don't care what it is. How much was it? Right? Like, you know, how much? And, you know, we see that as well with the doctor. You know, whenever we're seeing a doctor and there's something to talk about, it's just like, okay, just give it to me straight. Give it to me straight, doc. I don't really care about the good stuff. I don't care what's working. I want to know what's up here, right? And the Lord himself being the great surgeon of our souls, that's how he approaches us. We see that in his letters in the book of Revelation to the churches. He commends them. And he says, but you know, he opens up, he says, but this I have against you. And he gets right to the heart. And so here's the spiritual condition of these folks laid right out here for us. And that's in Malachi 1, verse 6 to 8. And it says, the Lord of heaven's armies says to the priests, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? For you have shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Where is the honor? The Lord's asking. He's saying, where's the reverence? Where's the respect? They're just shoving off the things of God. They're just putting in their time. Their heart is far from the Lord. Goes on to say in verse 10 that, how I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and I will not accept your offerings. But my name is honored, I love this, by the people of other nations from morning till night. All around the world, they offer sweet incense and pure offerings in honor of my name. For my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But he goes on to say, you dishonor my name with your actions, bringing contemptible food. You are saying it's all right to defile the Lord's table. You say it's too hard to serve the Lord, and you turn up your noses at my commands, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Think of it. Animals that are stolen and crippled and sick are being presented as offerings. Should I accept from you such offerings as these? Asked the Lord. And lastly, he finishes, he says, cursed is the cheat who promises to give a fine ram from his flock, but then sacrifices a defective one to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of heaven's army, and my name is feared among the nations. You know, a couple of things through all this pop out to me. And, you know, one is that the Lord always has his people. He always has his people. I love when it says, my name is great among the nations. We have some dear friends from across the world. I'm sure you can witness that his name is great among the nations. His name is praised around the world. He will always have his people who are faithful to him, who love him. And no matter what, there will always be people around the world on fire for God, seeking him, serving him. There's a story of a Korean church that an American pastor went down to see what all the fuss was. And they were on a train ride, this American pastor and this Korean pastor. And he said, so how much do you read the Bible? The American said to the Korean pastor, and the Korean pastor said, he started to cry. He said, please pray for me. I feel weak in this subject. And he said, well, how much do you read? He said, I read just once a month. And the American pastor said, you're a pastor and you read in the Bible once a month? He said, yeah, I can only make it through Genesis to Revelation once in a month. And the American pastor was blown away. But no matter what, there will always be those who honor his name throughout the world. But God's saying here, he's saying, you're not getting it. He's saying it's not about coming to the temple and doing all the religious stuff. He's saying, and it's half-hearted at that. He's saying your hearts are just, they're not there at all. There's no affection. There's no love. There's no devotion. There's nothing. Just this mundane, half-hearted ceremonial stuff. You know, if I my kids, if they never cared to see me, if when they came around, they just rolled their eyes and just put in time with dad, that would break my heart. It really would. And not to mention how that breaks the Lord's heart. And not just our Heavenly Father, but an awesome, eternal God, creator of all the heavens and earth. He deserves our full worship, our full devotion. He deserves our whole heart. And it's so interesting, they say it's too hard to serve the Lord. It says they turned up their noses at God's commands. And that was an interesting thing with me. And I wonder how you feel when you think about God's commands. What's your knee-jerk reaction when you say, you know, what's God's commands? I think that's a good temperature check of our hearts sometimes. You know, there was a time in my life where God's commands, they would make my stomach turn. I would not want to hear them. I would not want to think about that. You know, I wasn't done living for me yet, is why. And I thank God that by his grace and mercy, he brought me to a place, not overnight, but to a place where I began to love his word. And in fact, I began to love his commandments. And I began to ask myself, you know, what have I gained by obeying the Lord? You know, it seems like so many folks who living in sin and don't care about God's word, they're out having the best time of their life. And man, I've been through some hard stuff actually since I started following the Lord. So what have I really gained by obeying God's word? You know, and you know what I've gained? I've gained everything. I've gained everything. I've lost nothing. I can promise you I've lost nothing. And Paul, he sets the record straight. He says, I consider everything else dung. You know, that's the Bible word for poop. He says, I consider all just garbage. Just, I haven't lost anything, but I've gained everything found in him. You know, I thank God for that. And the psalmist, he puts it perfectly here in Psalm 19, verse 97. We'll have it up on the screen. Says, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, not Mark, but I have some, but for I am always thinking of your laws. I am even wiser than my elders. Well, Gary, you're not here, but anyways. For I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. And we all know this one. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Thank you for that. I've promised it once and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. There is so much joy and comfort and peace to be found in following God's word, living by God's word. You know, I had a big fire at my house the other day, and I had two little boys. If you know my boys, one, he was like bit by a spider or something. He jumps off everything, does backflips, and the other fella, he was bit by a bat or something. He doesn't see very good. But anyways, they're wonderful, and they're a handful. And we had a big fire going, and Zion, when he came out, as soon as he came out the door, he goes, "That's going to be hot. That's going to be hot." And he just kept saying that over and over. And I said, okay, he's got it. He's good. He knows how to stay back. My other little guy, he said, "Can I have a poker?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And so he came out with this little hot dog thing, and it's like a blaze. And I said, "Unless you want to keep your eyebrows, I would recommend a longer poker." But you know, by following Dad's commands, they were safe. By following Dad's commands, they enjoyed that time. They weren't getting all burned up. And there was much less fear. And it's the same with the Lord, isn't it? Following his commands keeps us safe. It keeps us living with much less fear. It's the way to be. Next up, I just thought this was so interesting. There's a warning to priests here. And, you know, even though it might be for someone else or whatever, I think it's so cool that it shows God's heart in general here. And so in Malachi 2, verse 1, it says, oh, we'll go verse 2. It says, listen, you priests. Oh, excuse me, it is verse 1. This command is for you. Listen to me and make up your minds to honor my name, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Don't you love that? Every time it never gets old. Anyways, or I will bring a terrible curse against you. I will curse even the blessings you receive. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you have not taken my warning to heart. I will punish your descendants. Check this out. And splatter your faces with the manure from your festival sacrifices, and I will throw you on the manure pile. Then at last you will know it was I who sent you this warning so that my covenant with the Levites can continue, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The purpose of my covenant, he says, with the Levites was to bring life and peace, and that is what I gave them. This required reverence from them. And they greatly revered me and stood in awe of my name. They passed on to the people the truth of the instructions they received from me. They did not lie or cheat. They walked with me, living good and righteous lives, and they turned many from lives of sin. The words of a priest's lips should preserve knowledge of God. And the people should go to him for instructions, for the priest is the messenger of the Lord of heaven's armies. But you priests have left God's paths. Your instructions have caused many to stumble into sin. You have corrupted the covenant I made with the Levites, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So I have made you despised and humiliated in the eyes of all the people. For you have not obeyed me, but have shown favoritism in the way you carry out my instructions. Pretty heavy stuff. And he says, you know, in all honesty, I take this two ways. Both are warnings to me. It's a reminder of what a true priest of God should look like and what happens when they're not. Man, I've looked up to men on TV and on the radio over the years, and men who have ended up in the manure pit, men whose faces just ended up publicly shamed. And it's a serious and sober reminder to not take lightly the things of God. I would ask that you would pray for us and continue to pray for this church, and that God would continue to use and strengthen this community, that we will always be a place and a people where the word of God will be proclaimed, and we will live and stand on God's truth, that you would pray for us, that we would not only that, but we would stand in awe of his name in this place, that we would just live out the truth of his instructions, and that we would see many turn their hearts to the Lord in the process. That's really the heart cry of this church, isn't it? That our mission is that we're helping people find Christ in community. And that is a big deal these days. That is a big deal. There's a whole lot of not truth out there. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, and we're all in this together. You know, I love just at the beginning there, it said, you know, would we make up our minds to honor him? Would we all make up our minds to honor the Lord each day of our life here? And so interesting, verse 5, it says, the purpose of God's covenant with us is to bring life and peace. And that's the whole purpose of their covenant, was to bring his people life and peace. And it's the same today, that covenant between us and Christ, man, when we follow him, when we're in that relationship with him, It brings us true life and true peace, unlike anything else that you'll experience this side of eternity. That's the purpose of his way, of his covenant, of living for him. It brings us life and peace. And so now that we've established their condition of the priests and the people, God says, okay, now I have a message for you. I'm going to call you. Okay, I'm going to call you. And there are two calls that the Lord has here. And the first one is faithfulness. A call to faithfulness. At a time when the Israelites were intermingling and intermarrying with women who served pagan gods, and ultimately these men were not being faithful to the wives of their youth. And I want to point something out to us that I think is really important. Malachi 2:13, it says, here's another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, weeping and groaning because he pays no attention to your offerings and doesn't accept them with pleasure. You cry out, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young. But you have been unfaithful to her, though she remained your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you asked? You have wearied him by saying that all who do evil are good in the Lord's sight, and he is pleased with them. You have wearied him by asking, where is the God of justice? You know, gentlemen, one thing I get from this and stood out to me in such a big way is that this subject of being faithful to our wives obviously matters so much to the Lord. It's a big deal, and it plays a big role in our lives. And what I really took away is that I don't know if there's ever been a time in history where there's more avenues and opportunities to be unfaithful to our wives. And he warns us here, he says, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts, men. Run from temptation. Run from sexual immorality like the plague that it is. These vows we make before the Lord are so important to him. And yes, there's grace and mercy through the cross, but that doesn't take away from the seriousness and consequences that many of us have faced. Guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. We're called not only to worship God with our songs, but in our daily choices. Bible teacher Zach Poonin, no relation, he said this, worship of God is not in song alone. Worship of God is in the quiet of our home when no one is around to see. We resist temptation. We choose him in the deepest parts of us. That is true worship. Moving along in Malachi 3, we see here it says, look, I am sending my messenger. Starting to talk about Jesus. This is all going to point to Jesus coming at the end. And he says, he will prepare the way for me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you look for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. Then once more the Lord will accept the offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem, as he did in the past. A beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us. And here's our call right here, Malachi 6. He says, I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. And this is it. This is simply it right here. He says, now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It's really as simple as that. He says, man, we've gone off the tracks. We've gone astray. God says, just return. Just come back to me. You know, when I was, I think about 17 years old, I had a dispute with my mom and dad. And, you know, I was in the wrong. And I said, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And I packed up my G.I. Joes and my backpack. No, I'm just kidding. But I went up the street and I was staying at a buddy's house. And you know what? It was terrible up there. But I was too much of a doofus to really, you know, come back and say I'm sorry. And one night, there's a knock at the door of this house. And my buddy's mom comes in and said, hey, it's your dad at the door. And my dad, you guys didn't get the opportunity to meet him, but he was a scary guy. And with him at the door, I was like, oh boy, how's this going to go down? But my dad was also a wonderful guy. And he said, son, come home. Come home, son. And I said, okay. I said, okay. And it was as simple as that. It was as simple as that. And I was back home that night. And you know, when we get in a place, we get in a dispute with the Lord, we fall away, whatever it is, when we find ourselves away from him, his message is knocking on the door of our hearts. He says, come home, son. Come home, daughter. And all we got to do is say, okay, I'm coming home. We come back. It's just like that. Man, he loves us so much. Amen. And he just says, I'm the Lord. I never change. His character remains the same. His heart for his people today remains the same. Does his holiness change? No, his holiness does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're winding down here, folks, so stay with me. We got a couple good things here. But in verse 8, he says, it says verse 7. Let's do verse 7. He says, ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return to you when we've never gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. I'm just going to pause there for 1 second. In regards to tithes and offerings, if you have questions about that, again, you can email me at mark@kingswaychurch. We can talk about that. Just kidding. I'll be happy to talk to you about tithes and all that stuff. You know, it seems to be like a trending thing these days. But I don't want to give... I don't want to get into that. What I want to say is simply this. Is God getting your best? Is God getting your best? Okay. Tithes are our first fruits. Okay. But if we put money aside for a second, you know, are we giving God the first fruits of our time? Of our time, you know, and if you want to talk about 10%, well, if we're awake 16 hours a day, 10% of 16 hours is what? 1.6 hours. So let's just wind it down. Are we giving God an hour a day? Are we giving him our best? When we have free time, which I know we don't have much of, are we rushing to him? Are we saying, God, I've been waiting. I can't wait to be with you. I can't wait to spend time with you, God. Are we giving him that hour a day? Are we giving him our best? Are we giving him our best? And this is crazy. In Malachi 13, he says, you have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But what did you say? What did you mean? We have sinned against you? He said, you have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or trying to show the Lord of heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? Again, everything. You will gain everything. When we finally get to the end of ourselves and surrender, say, God, I've been doing it my way for way too long. I'm ready. I'm giving in, Lord. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to give my whole life to you, God. These people, they didn't get it. Their hearts were too hard. They were too far away from him. But I hope we get it. I hope we get that and experience his love and transformation in our lives. You know, but that's not the only time somebody questioned that in Scripture. But it's such a warning signal, such a check engine light that, man, if we're feeling like that, we really need to come to him. We really need to surrender to him. And lastly here, I'm going to wind it down for us, you guys, is just comfort. And I just want to leave us with some comfort tonight. And that's what the Lord does. He has a promise. He has promises to them, promises of the Lord's mercy. In Malachi 3:16, it says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to the record, to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name." This is what the Lord says. He says, "They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't." And this is what it says, just to finish it off. It says, "The Lord of heaven's army says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture." Man, that sounds like a good time. I want to be there for that. Anybody else want to be leaping like calves led out to the pasture? "On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord of heaven's armies." I'm just going to stop there for the night. You know, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. Man, we don't hear too much of that in our mainstream churches these days, but the fear of the Lord, you know, again, I think of my dad. I could tell you story after story, a lot of them not microphone appropriate, but you know what? When my dad was around, I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid of what the future held. I wasn't afraid of what could happen. I knew my dad was with me. He was with me. And you know what? In regards to how we should fear the Lord, it's like my dad, I loved him. You know, I respected him. I had a deep admiration for him. I couldn't say that I ever stood in awe of my dad, perhaps, but that's the type of attitude we're to have of the Lord, that we stand in awe of him. And there's that old song, man, I was singing it today, beautiful beyond description. Anybody know that one? Not going to sing it, but I should. It's amazing. I love it. It's just like, man, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. And it's just like, and it reminded me again, like I said earlier, of Isaiah. You know, he had heard about the Lord, all these things. But when he had this vision, he saw him. He said, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm undone." This is overwhelming to be in the presence of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is an important thing. It says in the Bible that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says that it's the beginning of wisdom. It says, "But by the fear of the Lord that men depart from evil." Man, when I'm up to stuff in my life I shouldn't be, I think, man, because of the deep awe and admiration I have for God, I'm going to get away from that stuff. I have a healthy fear of the Lord. I'm going to stay away from that stuff. The Bible says that the Lord's mercy is on those who fear him. Bible says that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that makes one turns away from the snares of death, that the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. How cool is that? There is great comfort to be had in an awestruck reverence of God. Fear of the Lord. It's a very beautiful, comforting thing that we should all consider. Not only that, but it corrects and forms our worldview. Our worldview that God and His Word is the ultimate reality, that His purposes will stand beyond anything that this world is going to throw at us, anything that happens. He's the one. He's the one who holds this world in His hands, where man is just like dust to Him. And, you know, as the Christian, as we go through our trials and tribulations, that healthy fear of the Lord is really important for a healthy spiritual life, knowing that He is God and there is none like Him. Okay, we're going to finish up here. Just an amazing thing. You know, part of me just gets so excited with where everything's at in the world. You know, it's like the lines aren't even blurred anymore. It's just like there's either evil or good. It's just so plain, and I hope so many come to the Lord because of that. You know, within our culture, within our government, all that stuff, all the lines between good and evil, between heaven and hell, they're just becoming so clear. And man, it's a good time to be a Christian. It's a good time to let that light of Christ shine out there, wherever you are, in your family. It's not about politics or taking sides. I hope nobody's relying on any political party for any kind of salvation in this world, whether to our friends to the south or in our country. It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom of the Lord, and it's coming at us 100 miles an hour. It's here. The only salvation for this country and the world is in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, right? Shed for a dying world. And I was going to call this message pre-revival, because I think when we come to the Lord with all this in mind, a fear for Him, just a respect for His word, His commands, man, it makes an awesome opportunity for God to do something amazing in our lives. And you know what? I'm not going to do an altar call or anything tonight, but if you would like to pray, Mark's here, myself's here, I would love to just pray with you. If you're interested in saying, you know what, it's time for me to give my heart to the Lord. It's time for me to come back to Him. I want to be like one of those calves running through the pastures. I want that. I want Him in my life. I just have an open invitation for anybody here to come up. We'd love to pray with you. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, just thank You for Your word, God, and just pray that tonight it goes out from here and it does not return void, God, that You would be speaking to people, that You would be drawing people close to You, Father, that You would be revealing Your love and Your purpose for each one, God. God, as we just reflect on our own ups and downs, Father, of our own life, we thank You that You have been the constant through it all, Lord, that You do never change, Father. And God, it is just such a blessing to be able to trust in the person of Jesus Christ as our Savior and the Lord of our lives, God. And as we just consider this spiritual maintenance type stuff, Lord, I'm just reminded of Paul, who says, physical training has some value, but godliness has training for godliness has benefit for this life and the life to come. And God, we eagerly await Your return, Father, and we thank You for the living hope that we all have. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.